talking today with Dr. Kim Anderson, Extension Grain Market Economist at Oklahoma State University. We had the supply-demand numbers out from USDA on this Wednesday morning. Markets have been open for a little while, Kim, and does look like not that much of a reaction either in Chicago or in Kansas City on these corn and wheat futures.
That's exactly correct. They were calling before the market opened that both corn and wheat would be down a little bit, and that soybeans would be higher, and you have got some reaction on the soybean market with 10, 12, 13 cent higher prices, but mostly the market has pretty much written this report off. But I think the real impact is going to be in the long term. The information for corn and for wheat is negative. What's a few 10, 20 million more bushels of wheat or corn when you've already got excess stocks? It's not much more, but it's still negative. And then with wheat, we're at that magic carryover of 1 billion bushels, and a billion bushels just sounds like more wheat than 971 million, which was the number they were expecting.
Well, those psychological things, in other words.
I think it's like an albatross hanging around your neck. It's a weight that's just going to drag the market down, especially if our wheat crop continues to look good and look like we're going to have above average yields as we approach harvest.
Now, current cash wheat prices across Oklahoma right around $4, $4, $4.10, $4.15. How much do we sink by the time we hit harvest here in the Southern Plains?
Well, I've been saying that if we have above average yields, and I'm talking about 4 or 5 bushels above average, that we could see wheat prices down in the $3.75 range. I've also said that producers are better off with $3.75 wheat with a well above average yields than they are with below average yields. And $5 wheat, even though you got a low price, at least you got something to sell. And with these higher stocks, that's another deal with a billion bushel of ending stocks. If you you can have below average yields, and you've really got to reduce ending stocks by almost 400 million bushels before you get a good price impact. And if you do that, we're the crop that's early in the harvest. We're the ones that has to drag the yields down and get the price up, and that means we wouldn't have wheat to sell. So I think the thing we've got to concentrate on and the positive things going on out there is that the crop is looking really good. We may have $3.75 prices, but that's going to be if we got a lot of wheat to sell.
Now, at this particular point, even if you've got a good looking wheat crop right now, you feel pretty confident about bringing in a good size harvest. No real hurry in marketing this crop, right?
Oh, I don't think so. I think this is the crop. Like last year, Ron, we talked about last year we came in with prices up $5.75 and in that range. The odds are it was going lower, and we talked about selling at least half of it at harvest. And if you can't afford the risk, sell it all. And prices did go down. Well, I think coming into the harvest this year, especially if we have above average yields, we're going to have a relatively low prices at $3.75. It could be even down to $3.50. We tasted $3.60 this within the last 12 months, and so we've been down that low. But I think the bottom is going to be established early, and then if we lose a crop in one of the major foreign crops, then prices will rally and come up into the fall and winter. But I think the thing we've got to hope for is a big crop. Even if we have a big crop, prices are going to be low, and then for a crop failure to be somewhere else and prices to rally. And if that's the case, then we've got to sell enough at harvest to cover our costs and give us a little cash to operate. Store it into the fall. You've got about 6 cents per bushel per month storage and interest cost. That's four cents storage and 2 cents interest. 30 cents to own it into mid-November. So you got about a 30-cent risk for higher prices. But I think if we're going to see higher prices, if we have an above-average crop, it's not going to be until we get out to the October-November time period.
Kim, you know, if we could switch gears away from wheat for a moment, if we might, you know, what do these numbers tell us? You know, obviously, friendly for beans, they're higher today on the nearby contracts anyway. Corn a little cheaper on the futures at this point. Does this report shift any opinions or acres in the Corn Belt, soybean belt?
I don't think so, Ron. There was there was 6.2 million acres of winter wheat that wasn't planted, and that's available to corn and beans. And then there's another 3 million that came out of CRP that's available to corn and beans. And I think farmers that are looking out at bare ground that have their tractors and planters and the equipment there, if the weather cooperates, I think they're going to plant that ground rather than just leave it barren and put wheat on it next fall. So I think the biggest thing on corn and beans is what happens to that 6.2 million acres that wasn't planted to wheat, and what happens to that 3 million acres of CRP ground, and just how much corn and beans are planted. I used to be kind of semi-optimistic for beans, but I think with that available ground out there, if they can get it planted and get a big crop, I think it really doesn't look very good for your grains price-wise. I think it looks good production-wise, but I don't think it looks good price-wise as we go into the 2010-11 marketing years.
One last question, Kim, and going back to our wheat guys. Last year, the overriding comment that we had in that wheat review at LSU in Stillwater after the harvest was all said and done was the quality of the crop, the amount of form material and the problems that we've had with weeds and all that. Any hope that this might be a better year?
Well, I was hoping to avoid some more negative news, but my big concern about this year, one, is the quality of the crop, but my big concern is protein. We had a relatively low protein crop last year. A lot of that wheat still in the bins here in Oklahoma. There's the export demand or the mill demand's not there for that low protein wheat. With all the moisture, I know this last weekend, as soon as things got dry, they were top dressing out there. But my biggest fear is that if we have an above-average yield, that we will have a below-average protein, and that will almost be the dagger that's going to be to our hearts in moving wheat out of the state of Oklahoma for exporter mills. What we've got to have this harvest is at least an average or better protein crop and a good quality crop.
Yeah, if we see low protein in certain areas, do we a lot of times see a pretty good wheat price, but then a substantial hit in the basis?
That's exactly correct, and I was talking to some producers at Kingfisher, and they were saying they don't pay us for protein. And I say, if you'll look at a basis map for the state of Oklahoma, you can see exactly where the protein is because they have a stronger basis than the places that have low proteins. And a good example of that, used to southern Oklahoma had a higher basis than northern Oklahoma, and it's just the reverse now, and I think that's part of that is the lower protein of the 09 crop.